You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
This is episode 279 of Horsemanship Radio, brought to you by Hands On Gloves, the all-in-one revolutionary bathing, grooming, and shedding gloves. Horsemanship Radio is a part of the family of the Horse Radio Network. And today we have wisdom coming all the way from Bamberg, Germany, Bavaria, to our home in Solvang, California. This is Debbie Laux, and you're listening to the Horsemanship Radio. Thanks for joining us. Horsemanship Radio airs on the 1st and the 15th in the month, and I have my producer, Jen, of what, 30, I don't know how many years we've been doing this?
Plenty. It's been plenty.
Plenty. I thought you said 20 at first. I don't think I'm 20.
I don't think it's quite that long, but it's been a few years, hasn't it?
It's over a decade. Yep.
No, really?
Yep. 2013 is when we started. I think I started with Glenn a couple times.
The first two or three years you were with Glenn, and yeah. Then he tossed me in the deep end. I don't know how to do this. Oh, you'll be fine. Go do it.
He said, you know more about horses than I do. So there you go. So yeah, it's fun. We've been girlfriends ever since, and super fun. And as we speak, it's 2025, which is a long time.
It's been great. And you've been doing great things as usual over mm-hmm. there at the university at Flag mm-hmm. Is Up Farms in Solvang, California. Mm-hmm. And before we get to our guest today, I wanted mm-hmm. to make sure to ask you about your recent trip. You and Monty, and did anybody else from the family go to Argentina?
Mom and Dad. Yeah, Monty, Pat, and Debbie went to Argentina. It was fun. We were joined by a Brazilian and another Brazilian, and a German, and then there were three or four of our people down in Argentina as well. So it was quite a force to be reckoned with when we came in with all our dually halters and our wisdom, and it was super fun. I mean, here's the, you want to hear a little bit about the
I want to hear backstage? All about it. I want to hear okay. all of it, yeah.
Well, we're going down at the invitation of a organization called Nuestros Caballos. And all that is, it's like a big equine affair, we would say, in California or in the United States or Equitana in Germany. It's a big conference of horses and vendors and trainers and beautiful, beautiful criollos, beautiful polo ponies. But it really, the focus that we were brought in on was polo. We have an instructor down there, Melanie Zubalaga, who's been 10 years probably, and she's pretty young. And then Denise Heinlein, who you're going to hear from today. Denise has been our instructor for years and years, but she's been also advanced teaching. She's gone down there to teach some intro courses ahead of us in Argentina, even though she's from Bavaria. She was very close with Melanie and some other people down there in the polo industry. And so the breakthrough, though, was really incredible, Jen, when Polito, who anybody in the polo world knows that Argentina is sort of home base for polo. It's where all the 10 gold players are from. It's just a league ahead of polo as an industry around the world. And the number one trainer of polo ponies, hands down, his name is Polito. And when Polito got up and gave his testimony about how some of the top riders, polo performers, not patrons, I'm talking about the cambiazos and the grasitas of the world, came to him and said, oh, we saw a different way of starting horses and training horses up in the United States with this man named Monty Roberts. And we want to share with you, Polito, what we saw. Polito said in his testimony in Spanish, I can't repeat it, but he said it was really nice. He had folded arms and a lot of skepticism because remember, he's the top guy. Mm-hmm. Said, okay, you know, because you're my people, I will listen to you. And he saw them perform join-ups and worked with remedial horses and used all the concepts because these are good horsemen. And Polito went, I've seen a better way. And he told that story. And for the last, I mean, it's been at least 10 years since he saw that and has been using the concepts ever since. And all these young gauchos, you should see these beautiful little faces, you know, of 20-something riders. But the Latinas, I mentioned Melanie Zubalaga already, are training polo ponies now because you don't have to be big and brutish. You can be fine and not as strong as you had to be with the traditional methods. And Polito said, this is a better way. So he kicked off the whole week that we had, and there were two demonstrations, and Dad started a young polo pony down there, putting, actually it was Melanie's fiance on the horse, Bola, who's a very good rider as well. And it was received. I mean, the lines to get books were phenomenal. And really, there's very little English there. So the translators were busy, busy, busy. But I'd say that I've never seen one discipline flip in such a short time, really, a decade or two, to completely turn over what. And I don't think it was a PR thing. It really, they, you know what I mean? Like, maybe they thought, well, everybody thinks polo is really, really tough on horses. Everybody says that, right? So I don't think it was a PR thing. I think it was actually, to be completely honest, I think it was twofold. One, it was more effective. And two, it was financially more viable. You're herding a lot less horses to do it this way, and it's more effective. So that's a 1-2 punch. That's a pretty good,
right.
It's a pretty good way to do it. So they were sold in the, unlike a lot of disciplines, they were sold at the top level. Yeah. As much as so much of the world has embraced Monty's concepts, the symbiotic trainers of the mutual respect between trainers in many, many disciplines, from eventing, you know, I think of Boyd, I think of so many. Will Simpson won the gold in the Olympics, Hong Kong, and grew up with Dad basically here. One of his best horses early on was a thoroughbred that Dad sold to him, who didn't want to race. He just wanted to jump. And there's so many names out there like that that Dad is acquainted with. But not one discipline, the whole discipline, has really identified Dad as a training system that works, that is more efficient and more humane and more gentle, all the good things that you can imagine. Polo is the first, really, that said from the top echelon, this is a better way. You can do it any way you want to, but this is a better way. And that, for that, I was so proud, Jen. That was a crowning moment.
Yay! Yippee! So that's cool. Hey, yeah, I'm glad that went so well. I when you said that you guys were going to head down to South America, because Monty hasn't traveled for a little while. Oh, this is going to be so exciting. Was mm-hmm. Monty really excited about being able to get on an airplane again and go travel a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he was doing push-ups. He still is doing push-ups, but he was doing 135 push-ups every other day to get ready for this. Now, should we say what his birthday is? May 14th, 1935. He's 90 next week.
Yeah. And you guys have a place where people can go in and wish him a happy birthday coming up. Well, how do people do that?
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Well, at the farm next week, we're going to have instructors from all over the world coming, and friends and family coming from all over the world. That's May 14th. And then yeah, all throughout the summer, we're going to be celebrating not only his 90th, but also the courses that are being brought in, being taught by our instructors from around the world too, and each one paying homage to his work. And a new book is coming out too. So I don't even have a title for it yet, but it's the Man Who Listens continuation, and it's going to be published by Ben Bella Books, and it's over to the editor. So we're excited about that too. A lot of things going on in Southern California.
Mm-hmm. A lot going on. If you go to MontyRoberts.com, everything is there. It's your one-stop shop. So if you want to wish Monty a happy birthday, even if it's belated, mm-hmm. You go over to MontyRoberts.com. You'll find something there. If you're interested in new books, old books, courses, it's all at MontyRoberts.com.
Thanks.
Yeah, there we go. And speaking of interesting, fun things going on, Denise had a very interesting conversation with Olivia.
James Oliver. Yeah.
James. That's James has been on the show before, hasn't he?
Yeah. He works here and is a student. So he's now taking his advanced exams toward the end of the month and is very excited to be practicing a little bit, gleaning some knowledge from Denise Heinlein. And we thought, well, we'll stick a microphone in their face and catch up with them about some training they were doing with a young leopard-spotted Appaloosa.
Pretty cool. And before we get to that, we're going to hear from our title sponsor, Hands on Gloves.
Yay, hands. Well, I'm sitting here today with Jay Michelson of Hands on Gloves. And we were talking today about the horse that has sensitive skin or the animal that has sensitive skin, Jay. And I wanted you to help me address that a little bit. I know you've got some features to your products, but I know you know more about it than I do. So what do you do? What do you say to the owner that has somebody with sensitive skin?
Our gloves are made from surgical grade nitrile. So that makes them chemical resistant, mildew resistant, because you can bathe with them too. They're made to get wet. But across the board, there's no latex in them. So it's great for any animal, any people that have latex issues. There's no latex in it. They're just your hands. And if you have a thin skin horse or dog, they're cats, other animals, there are many animals that don't like to be touched in certain areas. But having the gloves on, it's just your hands. You get immediate feedback if you get to an area of that animal that is sensitive. And you can apply less pressure in those areas, and you can apply more pressure in the other areas. We have professional grooms that work for us. They groom for Olympians across the board, and these guys are phenomenal. And they did a study on mainly thoroughbreds, thin skin thoroughbreds, mm-hmm. and they found out that most people are grooming too light.
Oh, interesting.
They're tickling the horses, and went in and applied just a little more pressure, and the horses loved it. And so that's kind of some of our experience with it. We have all kinds of animals and experience with that.
I think you can throw these in the wash machine. Am I right?
You can. Next time you bathe your animals with them, use the gloves. A little bit of soap suds up all the way. And what we do after we bathe our animals with them, we rinse them off, hang them out to dry, and they go back to new. You can throw them in the washing machine. Just don't put them in the dryer. Just throw them in the washing machine, hang them out to dry, and they go back to new.
Well, Jay, how do people find out about you?
Handsongloves.com.
Since 2006, Denise has followed Monty Roberts' methods and has been working and learning from Monty Roberts himself, in addition to various other Monty Roberts certified instructors at the Monty Roberts International Learning Center, and also in Germany, Portugal, Netherlands, and England. After her time as a resident instructor at the Monty Roberts International Learning Center, Denise traveled to Argentina and India to share her knowledge of horse behavior with the polo world and to hold the first Monty Roberts course in Asia. She was named the senior instructor over the Monty Roberts Learning Center in Europe and is located in Bavaria, Germany. Well, welcome. I'm glad to have this educated group in front of me. I've got Denise Heinlein, and she has flown in from Germany. And I'm very excited to have her doing examining of the instructors. And we're going to go into intermediate courses. We'll be talking a lot about that. And we're also going to be doing exams for intro students. That's kind of going on right now. And we're going to be doing some exams for advanced students, too. And that'll be going on at the end of the month. So excited to have you here, Denise Heinlein.
Yeah, I'm happy to be back as well. It's always amazing to be here at the farm and to teach at the International Learning Center. So thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for flying over from the Monty Roberts Learning Center Europe, which is a new development in the last couple of years. And how's that going over there too?
Well, still a lot in progress or process, but it's coming up. I think it's really turning into a nice facility there in Bavaria, Germany. And I'm already setting up courses now for the next few years. So I'm really excited, Emma, to see it all developing and getting to the phase it should look like, to represent Monty in Europe.
It's beautiful. I mean, how bad can Bavaria, Germany be anyway? That's wonderful. And it's a wonderful short stop, too, from people that are very far away, and it's difficult to maybe take your introductory courses and the first courses. So they can take them actually from you.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, we are making it more accessible for people in Europe so they can, you know, save some over the ocean trips and come and do the education in Germany.
Yeah. Beautiful. And I've got James Oliver here, who's come to us. He works here also, and some of you are familiar with him through the Horses and Healing program, but he also takes care of a lot of horses here, and he's climbing through the certification process. And we're proud that he's going to take the advanced exams coming up. And say hi.
Hello. It's always a pleasure. Thank you, Debbie. Always great to be instructed by Denise. She's an incredible instructor, and to see how she's advanced Monty's methods even further, as he's wanted us to do. You know, he wants us to not just do as good as he does, but to do better. And that's looking forward to learning more.
Very good. Yeah, that is so true. Always learning, right? That's Monty's mantra is that he's never stopped learning in his 89 next week, 90th year, as we speak here for this interview. Well, I wanted to get started too with, you guys were talking about a session that you had with a young horse, and that young horse's name is Malibu. He's about 2 now. He's a leopard spotted little Appaloosa that is adorable, owned by a wonderful lady named Robin. And she has handled him some, but he is pretty much a blank sheet. And you, advanced student, were showing your skills off to Denise just to see where he is in his education right now in handling. He's not been saddled and ridden. He is 2, but really just out of the fields. So how did that session go, Denise? I'd like to hear more about your conceptual work.
Well, I mean, for the 2-year-olds or for any young horse, I think it's important, you know, to work very incrementally. So they enjoy, you know, the sessions with us, and they are really taken step by step to the specific cues we want to learn them. And also to, you know, observe that they are able to cope with the amount of teaching we do. So they always stay motivated and, you know, happy to come and learn with us. For the young horses, I think this is really critical, as Monty says, to, you know, set up the learning in incremental steps and exactly have them happy and motivated.
And relaxed. So what are the signs that maybe it's the session is over for a young brain?
Well, you see that very clearly with the young horses. They start, you know, to lower the head a little bit. And I mean, if you have the ears like starting to not so perky and the eyes blink, you know, and they show us a lot of signs and signals and gestures where they say, okay, now I'm tired and I need to leave the classroom. And so therefore, I think, I mean, also if you schedule your session really precisely and structured, it doesn't take long. You know, horses are so incredible fast of learning. So if you have like 15 to 20 minutes with young horses, that's most of the time really plenty of time and keep it nice and precise and short for them.
And short. So then you have to be very precise and black and white. So how long was this session with Malibu?
Yeah. I think, what do you think, James? About 10, no, no longer, 20 minutes. Yeah. I think 20 minutes. And he did fantastic. I mean, he was really, you know, taking step by step really nicely. And of course, James worked through the last, how long is he here? A year?
Yeah, he's been here a little over a year. Yeah. And while we showed Malibu skills, I also got to show my skills and things I could improve on from the first session to the second session. It was really important for Malibu, since he's so young, he's very sensitive to our movements. So when we're using the long lines, you know, it's 2 lines, 30 foot apiece for a total of 60 feet of lines. And if we don't have just the right tension, if we have not enough tension in it, that means it takes longer to get the message to the dually halter for him to respond. So as I was doing at first, having too much slack in the line, it takes more time for him to hear me. And not only for him to hear me, but it takes a bigger movement for me to get the slack out of the line, which that big movement then sends him away more into a trot instead of a walk. With these young horses, We want to keep them in a walk and yield to just the slightest pressure on that dually.
Is that a good assessment, Denise?
Yes, that was really good. Okay, good. Really nice. Yeah. So, I mean, for him, he, as a young horse, he didn't know about, you know, the first surcingle. So we made it nice and easy for him to start to present, you know, the tag and then kind of desensitize him. So he is okay with having like just the surcingle touching him and building it all up so the horse can be relaxed and happy to accept each stimulus we present to them. So therefore, we worked in the first session on that, but he was already really nice because James and I think the owners, they worked with desensitizing him to different stimuli like plastic bags and so before. Okay. So that was like the next incremental step for him to be, you know, long lined and starting the long line procedure. Mm-hmm. So yeah, therefore, as James described, we had him with the surcingle and we long lined him in the round pen. And the main goal is for our young horses, you know, the end goal is mm-hmm. to be a riding horse. So there mm-hmm. we can teach them step by step how to be guided with lines. So that helps him when he has the rider on to understand already what it means to follow the hands means the reins, mm-hmm. you know. So it's really nice and incremental, Emma, to prepare them for the rider. And since he's only 2 years old, we won't have a rider on for the next year. So it's just to, you know, give him something to think about, make his life, yeah, interesting, mm-hmm. you know, so that he has some input. Mm-hmm. And also time, you know, to really go incrementally. As I said, like it's another year for him until he will be probably ridden. Mm-hmm. So therefore we can, you know, teach him something, show him the world. He already has been on the mountain trail course, I've heard. Yeah. So how was that? How did he do there?
Mm-hmm. Well, he did really good. I think it helped that he was by himself so that he wasn't feeding off of other horses' energy. But he listened to the dually really well. He, you know, he did take some time to learn some obstacles, like the squishy water box is a really challenging obstacle for most horses, where they put one hoof on it and water squirts out from underneath. And that's been a big challenge for most horses. Yeah. But in the first day, within about a half an hour, we had Malibu going over the suspension bridge, the teeter-totter, and the squirting water box.
The famous Amazing. Squirting water box.
Yeah, therefore, I think in the training, for example, the squirting water box is something where we want our horses to trust us. And also we want always to use their natural curiosity, you know, especially young horses like Malibu. They start to sniff at it and then they play with it. So, you know, they use all senses to be able to realize that this is nothing where they have to be afraid of. Mm-hmm. But we show them, you know, look, try and see, it's nothing happening. So by step and incrementally showing them those obstacles, you know, they learn about their life. They have good experience. They get prepared, you know, for the future. So when he ever has to go on a trail ride to go through water or over a bridge, he already says like, yep, I have done that. That was fun. And, you know, this is, I think with young horses, super important to, create this curiosity in your training session so that they are open and willing to gain more experience. Mm-hmm. And we are just there to help them to stay safe and encourage them, you know, to trust us mm-hmm. through being precisely and predictable, using our body language in the correct manner, and always stay calm and collected.
Cool, calm, and collected.
Exactly. Like
to say. Timing is so important, and it's so difficult to, in this conversation, impart to listeners what timing looks like and how to be positive but still set boundaries and still build trust and still. So I know he started a year ago or so with a dually halter, which is basically, it looks like a side pull to a lot of people because it's got a ring on both sides. But that boundary is the way that it twists on the head a little bit without creating an argument by being painful, right? But now we've already talked about, now he's at two and he's going into a surcingle, which is you know, it grips around that girth area where there's a lot of nerves and things. So he's feeling new experiences on his body and learning new things. How do you impart to a student, Denise, how to get better with timing? What's the trick to get better at timing?
Practice.
Yeah. Not too practice, tricky, right?
Practice your skills. I mean, and using the tools you work with, every professional has to expertise. Is that the word? The right word?
Expertise.
In,
yeah.
Expertise mm-hmm. In the tools they use for their profession. So in our case, it's the dooley halter. It's the long lines. It's the being aware of your body language, you know, to be really mindful what we express, mm-hmm. you know, where we stand, what our angle to the horse is and our intention of when we're working with. So all of this is critical, and to observe the horse's gestures. Mm-hmm. So you know exactly when you have to apply any kind of tension or pressure to either give them a yes or a no okay. to their thoughts. So it's like you're working with the horse's mindset, means that you have to train yourself to the extent that you observe your horse and already see what they're thinking about. And if you get to that point, your timing will be right.
That's good. Dad says this a lot, that read your horse, understand the flight animal and a lot of things. But a lot of people, when they watch Dad, they say, how does he know 3 steps ahead what that horse is going to do? It's almost as if he can read his mind. But I think what you're saying is they don't communicate telepathically. They communicate through their body language, and it's us observing that to anticipate 3 steps ahead if you know the flight animal. Is that a good assessment?
Yeah, that's pretty good. And I have to say, sometimes it feels like if you train so much with them and spend so much time with the horses that it feels like reading their minds.
Mind. Yeah, exactly. Because there is a predictability to the flight animal that a lot of people think that's an interesting angle. Rather than saying, gosh, I hope I can learn how to do body language perfectly to communicate with my horse, I think it's really a more refinement than that, is understanding the flight animal so well that you can predict that they're either going to react this way or that way. There's probably few choices that they have to make as a mindful and responsive animal to survival. Have you learned that, James? Is that something?
Oh, definitely. Coming from not much horsemanship background into this, it's one thing to work with the horse 2 times a month on a weekend, but it's another thing to use their language every day. And I think that's really the difference in why this certification process is the length that it is it's like going into another country and using their language. If we live in our country and we don't have to use the language much, we don't get very sharp with it. But when we live in that other country and use it all the time, we just start to pick it up and it's more intuitive. And for whoever's watching, it definitely becomes very subtle gestures.
Mm, very good. It is learning here at the Monty Roberts International Learning Center is like an immersion course if you go through the certification process. And would you rather teach that horse at 1 or 2 how to take a surcingle, how to take the long lines, and then give him another year to grow up? As opposed to, you wouldn't want to start teaching a language to a kid, a human kid, at a later date if you have the opportunity to teach them when they're young. But it doesn't, it also gives you more time with that youngster too. But I love the fact that you've got a session going and then you put them back in the pasture. And they keep learning, don't they?
Of course, they keep learning. I mean, there's even a term to it. It's called latent learning. So it is if you end the session on a positive, you know, always, so that the horses had a good learning opportunity. And then it seems like, you know, they learn overnight, and then you bring them back and they're like, yes, I stored that information, mm-hmm. and you can just pick up on it again.
Perfect.
And yeah, as I said, like the nice thing about starting, like in a easy attitude where the horse doesn't really have to bring any performance yet, mm-hmm. you know, is that you can just structure your sessions really short and playful and have it, you know, easy for the youngsters to follow up on it.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, thank you. Thank you for letting us have a little insight to your lessons and what you're teaching here this month and on the advanced level too. So it's exciting to have you back, and I appreciate your time this morning.
Feeding horses at ground level isn't just natural, it's better for their health and well-being, and here is why. Healthy teeth and joints. Hay Pillow mimics natural grazing for proper wear and movement. Less strain. Eating with their head down reduces stress on bones and muscles. Calmer horses, and who doesn't want that? Head-up feeding can cause tension. Grazing position equals relaxed. Better vision. Hay Pillow has no blocked peripheral sight, and it means less stress. Clear airways. Hay Pillow helps nasal drainage, and it reduces dust inhalation. No hay in the eyes. Hay Pillow keeps dust and debris out. If you want the best slow feeding options, check out thehaypillow.com for tips and a quick quiz.
So this episode is, there's lots of learning going on and lots of takeaways. And having just recently gotten a new horse, James, I've been learning lots of things and asking lots of questions, because that's what happens when you get a new horse. You got to get to know each other. And sometimes you don't even know what questions to ask. And something that's been unique for me with James is, whenever he's afraid of something, and he's afraid of a lot of things, I think he's led a pretty sheltered life. I think he grew up in more of a hands-off kind of a situation. Mommy takes care of him, gets weaned, goes out with his little weanling friends, just do your own thing. So I don't think he's had a lot of life experience compared to an off-track thoroughbred of the same age. Just the absolute reverse. Tons of life experience. So simple things like someone driving a wheelbarrow towards him, or a golf cart, or a flag, or a kitty cat racing through his stall. All of these things are very scary to him. Now, he's a smart little fellow in that we've been working through these things very comfortably. There haven't been any big meltdowns. But
what?
Something he does that I've not experienced before, because this horse has less life experience than probably any other horse I've ever worked with.
Okay.
Now, the life experience he has had, I think, have been good, because it doesn't seem to be traumatized in any way.
Good. No. Yeah, that's good.
How old
is he now?
He just turned 4.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
He's a youngster. And he wasn't started under saddle until he was 3.5.
Nice.
So it's all been very slow. Whenever something startles him, there's two options. Whenever strange or danger occurs, it's either put your tail up in the air and run like you know what, or if that's not an option, we turn and we stare it down. I understand the put your tail up in the air, run now, ask questions later. That makes sense to me. Where does the turn and face the danger come from? Is that something that is innate in even a wild horse, or is that something he has learned through human interactions?
I don't think that's a human interaction necessarily, but tell me what the environment that makes the difference. Is he the same environment? There's probably differences.
There is. If he is on his own, it's run now, ask questions later.
Okay.
Always. Now, sometimes he only runs 15 feet.
That's good.
Sometimes it's 10 feet. Matter of fact, the distance he runs has gotten shorter and shorter the longer I've heard him.
Bless his heart. That's good.
But if I am with him, I have him on a lead rope, and sometimes even if I'm just standing next to him, or if I'm on his back, it is almost invariably turn around and face it. If it's something really way over the top scary, we might have to spin around in a couple of circles while we do that. But it's turn and face it. But if what is scaring him is behind him, that is very bad. And I get that, because that's chasing him and you'd better run. that makes perfect sense. But I'm trying to get my head around where the turn and face the danger comes from, because I've always associated horses, when something's scary, you run away from it. Mm-hmm. But obviously, that's not always what he wants to do, because if I'm standing there with a lead rope in my hand, he could just run away. Mm-hmm. He could pull on it. He could do a lot of things. And he doesn't choose to do any of those. He just stands next to me.
Mm-hmm.
He just stands next to me.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Now, that's
which is fabulous. I love that about him. But
You should. You should.
He came with that, though. I don't know where it came from.
Well, he could be super intelligent, too. No, that's an intelligent assessment that he's making. And the fact that you said he's, you know, been 3.5, you're riding a young horse. Good for you. Good for you.
I know. Wasn't the plan, but my budget didn't reach to main horse.
Experience on the slide scale of dollars. I know.
Yes. Yes. Experience costs money. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. No, he sounds really smart. Now, what I was looking for is, like, sometimes a horse will feel a little bit trapped, but it doesn't sound like you're in that kind of environment. Like, if he was in a stall, he has no place to go. And so he'd have to, you know, he'd either have to just start to defend himself with his hind end, or if he was really scared, or he would turn and face you and be, that's more of an aggressive thing, which is like, wait a minute, you know, I have no options here and you're my best because I might be able to run on top of you. So it doesn't sound like that kind of environment, Jen. So tell me a little bit more about when he turns and faces versus when he goes woohoo with the tail.
When he's in his stall, 99.9% of the time, if he's in his stall, the door is open so he can go back out into the pasture.
Okay. Okay, good.
So he can come and go as he pleases. If there's something startling anywhere in his vicinity, he always chooses to leave the stall.
Yeah, like a cat comes into his stall. So he's out, right?
Nowadays, he's used to the cat, but that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yes. Like in that case, though. And when he leaves, he then, what, turns and assesses again?
More and more. When we first got here, he would just leave. More and more and more, he'll turn and reassess, turn and reassess. And so a lot of times now, he'll only go outside the stall 10 feet.
Yeah.
Look around, scan the horizon, and then go back in.
You know, that is trust. That's a type of join up, frankly.
Interesting.
It is, because it's, well, everybody knows that horsemanship 101 says pressure and release, right? Mm-hmm. And if they get a release from that pressure, then they often, most flight animals will assess, because they don't want to burn up a bunch of energy they don't need to.
Oh, light bulb.
By going on, really? Okay, so good. So because the more energy they expend running away, they might have to. If they're being chased by a lion, they have to. But the more energy they expend, they might go into another predator circle too. Like, there's territories, right?
You never know when you're going to come to the next predator.
Yeah, that's it. So turning and assessing is an intelligent thing to do if you're not under so much pressure. So it's a pressure and release thing, which join up works on a trust-based form of that. One, you know, the horse will start to communicate when a horse goes away from you in the round pen. That's all it is. We can say send away if you want to, but it's essentially like, you know what? I want to be away from you. And you can't really get a join up if you don't have an away from you to invite them back in, right? It just
makes
takes
sense.
That full
curve. Yep.
So assessing, I love that about a horse that can look over their shoulder and go like, well, you know, do I need to, I mean, if they're driven by other horses, that's a different environment again. So you know, if all horses pick up their heads in a pasture and all tear off, they often are looking at each other going like, what are we running after?
They do, don't they? Their heads swivel left and right. They're looking at each other. You're right.
Yeah, because they're making a decision there. Somebody called, you know, a SOS and an alert and said, let's run. And they said, yep, okay, that's what we're doing. And then it's like, okay, are we safe? Or what's going on? So a herd mentality can be different than a moment where a cat jumps in the stall, or to use your example, but he has a walkout maybe that he can go out to. So now he goes out there. First option is like, it's a cat, it's a feline, maybe it's a lion. And then assess, turn around, Can I take on this lion, or what's going to be the next? I'm thinking that, Jen. I don't know if I have a clear picture of it entirely. But if you're riding on that horse and they're spinning, that's another thing that you know. Again, a green horse, you're going to have to read body language. And this is where timing and learning, and even in this interview we heard today, we talk about reading body language is a lifetime immersion course in the language Equus, because the more you can read all those things about to happen in a horse or decisions they might make, A, B decisions, right? Like my ear is going over here because I'm kind of considering, but on the other hand, this side is twitching over here. You know, the more we can read those things, people often say that dad can read the minds of a horse. And that's kind of funny. It's not. He can read a horse super well. And then he can anticipate what the flight animal is going to do next, given a pretty narrow set of circumstances, kind of like what you described. It's a narrow set of circumstances of flight or not fight, but turn and assess. And that's really natural A-B testing, you know, with a horse. The more intelligent they are, the more probably on the hierarchy, if you put him out in a pasture with the other horses, he's probably going to, even though he's young, he's probably going to climb the ladder very probably non-confrontationally, but just by the fact that he can keep everybody safe. He's a good leader. He's assessing. He's not just like, panic.
That's why this is wise words from Debbie, because you gave me a light bulb moment there.
Yeah, people don't understand dad's concepts. Mostly they don't understand the flight animal well enough, because the more you understand the flight animal, the more you understand why each gesture is so important to build that trust with a horse.
Yeah, and it's a lot of self-reflection and self-observation. Because if you can't do those two things, all the observing of the horse in the world isn't going to help you. You have to look in and understand where you're coming from, understand your own body language, which I guess is why it's so important when you guys offer these courses at Flag Is Up Farms. Mm-hmm. You are so focused on the detail and the consistency and the quality of the human being's movement and intention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Put yourself in an immersion course. It's the coolest thing. Horses are the future, you guys. I know it sounds funny. A lot of people look back on horses as that their time has passed. I don't think so. I think their time is coming, because they're such great indicators of mindfulness and so many things that we want to achieve through our breathing. And dad always says, look in the mirror. It's never the horse's fault. If you think about it, they only react to the environment that we've created. So make sure that environment is fair and created, and also make sure that you understand their motivations, because if you can get in front of that, then you'll be safer and they will trust you.
Imagine if you could take Monty to the barn with you. Watch and learn as he addresses each challenge with your horse and answers your questions too. You head to the arena and you work on each new lesson, knowing Monty's there to encourage you, all with violence-free, tried and true methods. After all, he's been helping train horse lovers all his life. With his online university, you could be like Kathy, a retired teacher who just bought her first horse.
Recently, I went to a tack shop to look for a smaller halter. 61, just purchased my 14-hands POA the day after my birthday, just a few weeks ago, after never having had a horse. And yes, that's crazy, but as a retired teacher who never had a hobby other than teaching, I decided to go for it. My hubby and I have taken lessons this past year, but I really longed for a relationship with a horse. The only other experience I'd ever had was to ride a horse in Philly, Pennsylvania, my hometown, when I was 16, and I got bucked off. And that was it until I was 61. Well, the owner of this tack shop, just this precious lady, 84-year-old lady, gave me a copy of this magazine, Equine Monthly. And the article I read in it was Horses Are Biofeedback Beings. And it was just so interesting. I really felt like I just found a pot of gold when I read it. Because in it, it talked about Monty's online university and that I could have access to 575 videos for $10 a month. And before that, I was just searching YouTube for everything I could find. But truthfully, that's just a pain. I love that the Uni videos are concise and they're in order. They have extra notes and a quiz. And I just can't thank you enough for the huge blessing of your online university. It really has changed my life, and I will never be the same. I've had my horse Jack now for 7 weeks, and thanks to the videos, I've done join up with him, and it really worked like a dream. I had to do it in an arena, but it still worked, thanks to Monty's lessons and the cues and the hand signals. The ability to watch the lessons over and over on demand is incredible. So I also want to thank you so very much for making the online university affordable for this retired teacher. Thank you so much for all that you do for everyone who really wants to love a horse. Kathy.
And speaking of courses and wise words, lots of courses and other wise words and fun things going on at the California Horse Center in Solvang, California. What's on the calendar?
We have on the 18th of this month, May 18th, is a mountain trail play day, which we do quite often, almost once a month now. And
quick overview of what a mountain trail is and a play day is.
Well, we didn't want to be selfish with our mountain trail. It's a Mark Bolander designed mountain trail. We have 22 obstacles out in the infield of the racetrack. We still have our racetrack. We still love it as a walk, trot, trot, and a track and exercise and carriage driving on the outside of the track. But inside, we put this concentric circles together. Mark designed it for us personally, which was really cool. But it looks like a mountaintop. I mean, all the obstacles out there could have been found on Sun Valley, Idaho, you know, someplace. And so it's beautiful. And four of them move, like suspension bridge. There is a rolling bridge. There is a squirting water box. That's super fun. And there's a teeter totter. And then there's a huge pond in the middle and a trestle bridge and all kinds of crazy stuff. But we have a methodology, and Mark's taught us, and Dad's infused some of his concepts in it. So we start in hand on the Mountain Trail Play Day, and we teach a little bit about our bubble and keeping the horse, you know, in boundaries and us, and building trust on those obstacles. People go like, what? You start on the ground? Yes, we start on the ground. When we can do those obstacles from the ground, getting in the saddle is super fun because the horse always, I got this. Yeah, you already showed me. Okay, I'm ready. And then you get to have fun and do it with a little more gusto in the saddle. So it's fun.
What's coming up after Mountain Trail Play Day on the 18th? What's next?
Well, one of our favorites, and Jen's, is May 19th through 23. We have a Gently Wild Horse course. That's 5 days, and we've got some raw Mustangs coming in from across the valley, and those are always fascinating in our facility. We've got that Gently Wild Horse course facility in the back, very quiet part of the farm. A lot of people never even find it if they don't know where it is. So the Gently Wild Horse course is the beginning of the gentling of untouched horses, like pure language equus. And then 19 through 28, we had advanced course exams. You might have noticed 19 through 23 is gentling wild horses. 19 to 28 is the advanced course exams. Why is that? Because each one of the potential instructors who are taking their exams gets a horse as their project horse too. So we get to see, they get to be, you know, taught. Well, they're being examined. I guess we can't really be taught at that point. They better know. So they're being shown how to stay safe around a horse. So those people that want to stay up on the wall, stay up on the wall. Those people that want to be in with the wild horses while they're contained, separated from the people, also get to do that. So it depends on your level of horsemanship. That's how we choose. And then we've got on June 14th, we've got a horsemanship 101. And June 15th, we have another mountain trail play day. See, there's one a month like that. Horsemanship 101 is really the beginnings of Monty's concepts in one day. You can get a big overarching study of horses and Monty's methods with horses. Then my favorite all year, Jen, is the movement. We have your poster boy, Tad Coffin, coming, the Olympian from posters on your walls when you were a kid, right?
Everybody had a crush on him. Everybody.
And Kelly got him. So Kelly is also coming out. She's an equestrian artist. So we've got Tad and Kelly Coffin, and we've got Monty and Pat Roberts, because Pat Roberts is also an equestrian, but she's a sculptress too. She does bronze. So it'd be Dad and then and Monty Roberts and then Jamie Jennings as a certified Monty Roberts instructor is coming. Then we have Nellie Kennedy is a PATH certified instructor, but she has a micro certification in leadership too. So she's going to be doing a really cool session on about people really using horses to learn more about leadership. And then we have Bianca Zabel, who does post-traumatic stress or traumatic somation. It's kind of a new thing, but somatic resonation is another kind of therapy too. So she's going to be teaching how she uses her horse, Riggins, to help people who've had trauma in their life too. So these are overarching sections and segments. And we have Jared Rogerson concert on Friday night. So this is all June 20 through 22. But hurry up because we only have like 20 tickets left to that. And it's in Solvang, which is a really popular place to come. That's in Central California. So get on the ball with that. I think Jamie has been pumping it too from her side of all the people that she influences. So really fun weekend. Just weather's always perfect and everything else. We have at the end of the month, June, we have a Horse Sense and Healing for our veterans and with post-traumatic stress, 27 through 29. And then long-term planners, we already have, I think, 6 people signed up for a 10. I think we'll stop at 10 in July. 2 through 16 is our introductory course of horsemanship. So intro course, that's the first leg of the certification, July 2 through 16. How about that?
All of that and more at MontyRoberts.com, your one-stop shop for all things Monty Roberts. Or you can speak with a real live, pleasant human being at the California Horse Center. 805-688-6288. And by the way, that phone number is also on the webpage.
Yeah. It's there.
And for details about today's show, MontyRoberts.com, the podcast is found there. If you want to find just the podcast and nothing else, you can go to horsemanshipradio.com. And in both places, you're going to find links and more information about today's guests and topics. And we'd love your feedback. We'd love to hear from you on social media. Monty Roberts on Facebook is Monty Roberts, the one with the little blue check mark. And on X, as well as Instagram, it's Monty_Roberts.
That's right. And many thanks to our sponsors, too. They're incredible. Hands-On Gloves, Jay Michelson and his crew over there. It's a wonderful product for shedding your horses out. And what better time of the year? We're still shedding out over here. And I love their team there too. And we have Hay Pillow. Monique is an amazing woman who really out of necessity created the Hay Pillow, which is a perfect way to feed a horse from the ground and not eating sand and nibbling slowly throughout the day. It's just great. And then MontyRobertsUniversity.com. That's our reason for being, educating, and it's our mission. Be sure to visit all the other great shows too on the Horse Radio Network at www.horseradionetwork.com. Until next time, have many happy horse hours.